Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning the Lui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmasa, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, her Neshama should have an Aliyah, continuous Aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. So I was just asked to share this with you, so I will. This is from, is it Mr. Yitzchak Frun?
Rabbi.
Chazen Yitzchak Frun. I want to use this opportunity to thank you for giving the shiur in memory of Miriam Zichrona Levracha. Every Wednesday when I come to Marv, I have nachas of seeing this beautiful group of women who are listening to shiur. Miriam loved shiurei Torah and pushed me to attend as many shiurim as possible. My Ahavas Torah is credited to her. I am sure she is listening to your shiur every night. May you continue to learn for many years to come. Thank you very much. Please thank in my name all the women who attend this great shiur. All the best to you and your family. So I was specifically asked to share that with you. So it should continue to be a nachas for her family and an aliyah for her neshama. And be'ezras Hashem, a strengthening for us in our avodas Hashem. Okay, that was amen. There was one more email that I'm looking for that I wanted to share with you. She was Niftaris very suddenly, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know her. I wasn't able to know her. Okay, I'm just looking for one more email that I wanted to share with you. There were two I wanted to share. Let me see if I could find it. Hashem, please help me. Okay, I can't find it right now, of course. Okay, let's go. I can't find it right now. Okay. Ladies, if there's anyone here who did not receive my WhatsApp shiur reminder, Liba, I'm not sure if you're on it, just please see me after shiur, and I'm not going through the whole spiel now. If you're sitting at this table, I know you didn't get it. I don't think you added me to your contact, Sima.
I did get it.
You did or didn't?
Oh,
now. I knew you didn't read it. Okay, not in a bad way. I'm saying I'm trying to track down the people who are not reading it. See me after shiur if you didn't get it. Ladies, we're on page 104. Okay? Page 104. So I can't find the other email that I wanted to share with you. I wanted to read it in the proper words. Let me see if I could find it one more time. Bear with me one more time. It's not so far back. It's a mashal about an airplane, and it was, I don't know if anyone saw. Here we go. Someone shared this on a WhatsApp, old friends, my high school class, WhatsApp chat. Okay, so someone posted this, and I wanted to share with you since last week. I saw it after class. I thought it was so relevant to our learning when we talk about Dveikus and Emunah and coming closer to the Ribono Shel Olam and making him so real. The Shechinah should be so real in our lives. It's called What's the Size of God? I was also a little thrown off by the title. Don't be nervous. A boy asked his father, "What's the size of God?" The father looked up to the sky and saw an airplane, and he said to his son, "My son, what's the size of that airplane?" The boy answered, "It's so far, I can barely see it, it's so small." "Yes," said the father, "the airplane is so small." And then the father took the son to the airport, and they stood next to an airplane, and he says, "My son, look at the airplane, what's the size of the airplane?" The boy answered, "Wow, Daddy, we're so close, the airplane's huge." His father said, "That's right. God is like this. The size depends on the distance between you and him. The closer you are, the greater he will be in your life." And when I read that, I thought, it was last Thursday, I thought that is such a strong mashal nimshal, especially for our learning parable with a lesson for our learning. The closer we are, kaviyach, so to speak, the greater the Ribono Shel Olam, we perceive him in our life. Okay, questions or comments? Yes.
Can you send it on the WhatsApp?
Oh, see? That's something that I could send in the chat if people are interested on this WhatsApp group. Okay. That's a good idea. Let's go. Page 104 on the bottom. Okay? This is how it should be, second to last paragraph. With every aspect of contemplation, you will see the clouds moving, and you will say, "Who's moving the clouds?" You know, it's true. It's like the clouds also, think about it. When you see the clouds from the ground, they look so far. When you're in an airplane and you're in the clouds look totally different because you're closer now. Who is moving the clouds? Is it the wind or you? I feel, it seems to my eyes, the wind is moving them, but of course, you are the one who moves them. It's true, by the way, that the wind moves the clouds, except that Hashem is the wind, and Hashem created the wind, and Hashem created the clouds. Of course, there are angels involved who are agents, but we must focus on Hashem. Okay. It's true that you should first contemplate by yourself, and then speak to Hashem. But nonetheless, you must speak to Hashem and work instilling Emunah together with Him. So one of the last points that we spoke about is not working, so to speak, against Hashem, but rather working with Hashem, not opposite Him, not in the third person, but together with Him. And I'm going to share a story from Portraits of Prayer that I thought of when I read this line, because you have to speak to Hashem. So what does it mean, speak to Him? You have to speak the same language to build a relationship. If you want to build a relationship with a person, yes, there's body language, but Lamaisa, you both have to speak to each other in a language that you understand. So listen to this story. It's also related to tefillah, which the Gemara says is one of the four things that need constant strengthening. Okay? Four things that need constant strengthening. One of them is tefillah. This is, I'm quoting from a book called Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer L. Abish, A-B-I-S-H. I liked it very much. Many beautiful insights. Okay, so he writes, he was on a visit to relatives in Eretz Yisrael. He was having an interesting conversation with a young cousin of mine. She was very excited. She found out that I taught third grade. She was in third grade, so she wanted to compare her schedule and curriculum with that of my class in the United States. She told me they learn approximately 20 psukim of Chumash a day. I think she was more surprised when I told her we learn about 4 psukim of Chumash every day. She couldn't understand. What do we do the whole time in class? I explained to her, her mother tongue is Ivrit, and therefore, while her mother has to explain what the verses mean, very little time is actually spent translating the word themselves. In my class, on the other hand, the student's mother tongue is English. They don't know the translation of most of the words in Chumash. A lot of class time means we have to review and translate the actual words for the students to remember and retain them properly. She was surprised and fascinated by this information. And then she asked me a question. So then by tefillah, they only daven Shema and 2 or 3 brachos of the Shemona Esrei? She asked, what? Why do you say that? What do you mean? Well, you just told me their mother tongue is English. They don't really know Hebrew. If that's so, they must daven very few parts of the davening. How much time can you spend davening and translating everything every day? No. We don't spend time translating the words of the Siddur. We just daven. That way we could daven all of Shachos. They may not know the translation of what they're saying or the meaning, but Baruch Hashem, they can read the words very well. She looked at me with a completely confused expression all over her face. I'm sorry. And after a moment of silence, she asked with all the sincerity of a 9-year-old child, I don't understand what you're telling me. How do they daven day after day? Saying words without knowing what they're saying. How does that work? Does it work? Is that considered tefillah? It must be so boring! Exclamation mark. And then his comment is, out of the mouths of babes, she was correct. I did not have anything of substance with which to respond. I could not stop thinking about what she said. She was so right. And he says he came to the conclusion, he wasn't even talking about children anymore, that many of us don't take the time to properly understand what we are davening at all. We memorize the words and we can read them, but this does not exactly generate the most positive feeling or attitude towards tefillah. What's the alternative? To daven fewer tefillos? I thought it was extremely powerful because we're trying to build a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we have to be speaking the right language and we have to understand what we're saying. Can't build a relationship with someone and give them a card and you write in Chinese and that person speaks English, so they don't know what you're expressing and they don't know what you said. And yes, the Gemara Maseches Tainis right in the beginning calls tefillah izihi avodah shehi b'lev, havei omer zohi tefillah. What is service of the heart? La'avda b'chol levavchem v'b'chol nafshechem. Yeah, so the Gemara says, right when you open up the Masechta, that the Gemara says avodah shebelev is tefillah, and there is the component of the heart, and we do need to have feeling. But Lamaisa Chazal instituted the tefillos a certain way, and we have to know what we're saying, and we have to speak to Hashem. And I know I don't think that right now at this point the Sefer the Mechaber specifically talking about speaking to Hashem in the structure of prayer. I think that he's talking about speaking to Hashem like, I don't know, I was washing grapes tonight. I was preparing lunches for tomorrow. So I learned this from Hendy. So I said, Hashem, please let the grapes have all the nutrition my family needs. This is in my head. I wasn't saying this out loud. And please let the grapes give them natural sugar and satisfying crunch. And please let them fill them up. Okay, that was in my head. The funny thing is that earlier I was washing dishes and no one was in the kitchen, so I was talking about a certain Nisayan. So I said, Hashem, every day, the same Nisayan. I said, what do you want from me? At that minute, my husband walks in the kitchen. He said, what are you doing? So I'm talking to Hashem. And I didn't want anyone in the whole house to hear. This is between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. I didn't know that anyone was coming into the kitchen. I was like, nothing. It's nothing. He left to go to Shul. But yes, there's talking to Hashem. But then there's also tefillah. And we have to understand what we're saying if we want to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and work on instilling amun. Otherwise, what am I doing? I pick up the sitter. So I spend 15, 20 minutes davening. So do I know what I'm saying? So we have to try. And especially in the society, in the time in which we live, with art school and other English translations, there's really not such an excuse for not understanding all parts of tefillah. I'm talking to myself. There's things in the halukas I don't understand, whatever it is. If there's parts of uvalatiyah that I don't understand, so I have to take a sitter. I'm talking to Micharetz, and I have to open up the English, and I have to make sure I know every word. What's the excuse? Every day, or work on a new sentence. Right? Because if you speak to Hashem, it works on instilling amuna together with him. Tefillah is a joint venture. It's a conversation. I'm talking, and someone with a capital S is listening. Together, we're working on amuna. What did Chazal say in Pirkei Avos? We just read it. Al tas tefilas ha-keva. Don't make your prayers by rote. Hevei zahir b'kriya shema b'tefilah. You should be careful with kriya shema and tefilah. Kshe'ata mispala, when you daven, al tas tefilas ha-keva al-rachim v'sachnun l'mufnei ha-makom baruch hu. Shouldn't be by rote. It shouldn't be every day the same 20 minutes of words that you don't understand. You're working with Hashem on instilling emunah. So speak in a language that is mutually understandable. And yes, the Ribbono Shel Olam understands our heart. And he also knows when I'm mashing the grapes, what I'm saying. And he also knows when I'm mashing the fry pan. I thought I was by myself in the kitchen. He also knows what I'm saying. But Lamaisa, if you work on tefillah, we spend so much time davening, know what we're saying. Let's go. Page 105. Questions or comments? Avigail, you look like you want to say something.
No,
it's okay.
I don't think that we need to get into this at this point. I'm just saying, theoretically, there is value in saying the words, even if you don't. We should be working towards understanding.
100%.
But there is value in saying the words, even if you don't.
Wait, please.
Understand.
If anyone understood from anything that I said, to not daven, go through the order of tefillah as outlined by Chazal in the Siddur, that is not what I meant. That is wrong. I'm sorry if I imply that in any way, shape, or form. I thank you for saying that so that I could make sure it's clarified. I did not mean that. The Rav Shimshon Pinkus explains that the words have tremendous power as they were instituted by Chazal. He says it's like throwing a grenade against a wall. So you just give a light toss, but the grenade has so much power, it's going to blow up the wall. How are you blowing up the wall? You just give it a light toss. Can you blow up a wall? The grenade has so much power. That's the words of Chazal. Yes, we should daven. I did not mean that. Please, chas v'shalom. You should say the words. We should also work on understanding what we're saying. And certainly in the time in which we live, with the plethora of translations into many different languages, it's hard to, for me, to have an excuse for not understanding the tefillah. It does not mean you should not daven them, even if you don't understand them. Thank you. Page 105. Anything else? Yes. A person who davens in English?
Yeah.
What's the question?
I don't know Hebrew.
Okay, so I once asked this exact Shaila. Somebody asked me a question, and I cannot pass on Shailas at all. I asked this exact Shaila, and I was told that the person may daven in English. I'm repeating what I was told. Everyone could ask their own Rav, as Rabbi Josh Haber. My brothers ask him Shailas. You feel free to ask your own Shailas. I'm not giving you a Psak Halacha. I am telling you, I asked this exact Shailas. Somebody asked me that in a different class. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know Hebrew. Can she daven in English? I asked this exact question. She made, the answer was, she. I probably have it saved in my Rabbi Josh Haber email file. She may daven in English, but work if possible with a long-term goal of hoping to daven in Hebrew. Everyone could ask their own shayla. I'm telling you who I asked, and I asked this very shayla. I am not passing halacha, okay? You may ask your own shayla, but that's what I was told. You may daven in English with the goal at some point of working on davening in Hebrew. Okay? Okay, see? Both very important comments. Anything else?
That's a very comforting answer. Really,
Baruch
that
Hashem.
Provides great comfort.
Baruch Hashem.
If someone is able to read Hebrew, then they're, nowadays they have these transliterations.
Transliteration, right.
And they have, or they have, But you could read Hebrew and have the English definition right underneath it. So you
The English, not definition. Oh, you mean, but the transliteration of the Hebrew. Right.
Both.
Interlinear.
Right, which is another tool.
So many options today that...
Which can help also. So there are definitely many tools, Baruch Hashem, many of them put out by the Heidelberg of Art School that help us reach our goals. Okay, I'm going to make a bracha and then we'll go on. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaro.
Amen.
Thank you for the water. Page 105. The avoda must be as a structure level upon level. If you don't do this, it is likely that all the effort you invested while striving to attain awareness of God's presence will be wasted. If you don't work properly and you don't work with Hashem, and you don't feel His presence, and the awareness that when you're washing the grapes, He's right there. And when you're with the fry pan, He's right there. And you fill in your own blanks wherever He is right there, then you can, lamaisa, chas v'sham, end up, you know, two steps forward, one step back. Is that the right expression? You will be so involved in working on divine providence, hashkacha pratis, that you might lose the feeling of Hashem's presence. So it might become an external exercise. Is that possible? If you work so much on feeling hashkacha pratis, you could forget Hashem's presence? I'm asking a question. Yeah, Shani?
I don't understand what he's saying either.
It's a little bit of a stira. It seems to be a contradiction. If you're working and so involved on working on sensing divine providence, meaning Hashem is involved with everything, right? Divine providence. How could you lose the feeling of Hashem's presence? Wait, please stop. You sort of hear it because?
Because I have a coworker who's going through a difficult time, and it almost sounds like magical thinking. Like, oh, if the lottery number is this, then Hashem's on my side. Like, you're looking for signs in everyday life, rather than actually having Hashem there. It's like, oh, like, it's foggy today, so it means, like, you know, Hashem's, like, covering you with a blanket. Like, it almost sounds like Avodah Zarah-y, but you're almost like replacing the signs that you
want
to see
with Hashem.
With actual Hashem's presence.
Oh, okay.
That's what it sounds like to me. Like, okay. Oh, when this person calls me, then like Hashem's making it like work out. But like, it's not...
That's so interesting. So Rashi says you're not allowed to believe in like, oh, a black cat crossed my path. It means X, Y, and Z, which is exactly what you're saying.
Like to me,
so perhaps you can come to mistake divine providence, acts of divine providence. You become so focused on the action or the thing that happened that you forget that Hashem is running the whole show. Okay, thank you. This is an example of difficult to acquire as gold, but easy to lose as glass. You might even lose all the effort invested in the basic awareness of Hashem. So because he speaks about focusing on Hashem's presence and a feeling, it's feeling Hashem's presence. So I'm going to quote from the biography of Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yukom Damo, Zechat Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, Malach in our midst. Okay? And this relates to our learning. A concept of Twersky would often convey during Elul, right, leading up to the high holidays, was how an ongoing connection with Hashem, ongoing connection, is central to the life of the Jew and the Jewish people. The Pasuk in Parashas Vayelech talks about the terrible things that will befall the Bnei Yisrael as a result of their Aveiros. Okay? And Vayelech says that things will happen to us. And the Pasuk says, and he will say on that day, because Hashem is not in my midst, all these evils befell me. That's what the person will say. Rav Twersky would quote the novel explanation on this pasuk given by Rav Simcha Bunim of Pesischa. At first glance, said Rav Twersky, it would seem this is a statement of tshuva on the part of Klal Yisrael. They would say, oh, all these things befell me because Hashem is not in my midst. They recognize sin causes the divine presence to leave. However, the next pasuk speaks about Hester Panim, the hiding of the divine face, so to speak. Why would Hester Panim follow teshuva? If we're saying, oh, because Hashem is not in my midst, all these things befell me, it seems like on level of pshat, basic understanding, that's tshuva, repentance. So if we're repenting, then why does the next pasuk say God's going to hide his face on that day? Rav Simcha Bunim of Pesischa learns the statement, God is not in my midst, is not part of tshuva. Ein Elokai Bekirbi, God is not in my midst, is a terrible thing. Quote, the worst thing that can happen is if a Jew thinks what's happening to him is not from Hashem. Ein Elokai Bekirbi. The worst thing that could happen is if we think what's happening is not from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We think that Hashem doesn't care about us. We think He has cast us aside. Thinking that what happens is not from Hashem leads to deeper hastarpanim. Thinking, Ein Elokai Bekirbi, God is not in my midst, is actually not a statement of teshuva. Simcha Bunim Pesischa explains that's the worst thing that could happen. We think Hashem's not with us. And what's nature and signs and omens aren't from Hashem. He's not with me, and that leads to a deeper state of Hester Panim, when it becomes even more difficult to perceive the hand of Hashem. It's critical, said Rav Tversky, to be aware no matter what, everything that happens is divinely orchestrated. This is one of Rav Tversky's major themes. Quote, a Jew is never alone. Ribbono Shel Olam is always with you. When we lose sight of this, Ein Elokai Bekirbi, that's when troubles come about. That's when it leads to Chalila V'chas, a deeper state of Hester Panim. When I think Hashem's not with me anymore, it becomes harder and harder to perceive Him. Our relationship with Hashem, Rav Tversky explained so nicely, is encapsulated in two words, Avinu Malkeinu. Again, he would speak about this during Elul time. Okay? We say these words over and over. And the Elulzman, we also say the Mantanis Tzibur. Avinu, He's our father. Makenu, He's our king. There is never a time, says Rav Tversky, that He's only our father or only our king. He's always both. Father and king at the same time. Avinu and Malkeinu are inseparable. However, different parts of avoda, of work, stress different facets of our relationship. When we started off talking about tefillah, Rav Tversky said, when we daven, the primary aspect is on Malkeinu. Hashem is the Almighty, powerful King. If you recall 2 weeks ago, the first year back after Pesach, so I quoted some vignettes from the Hesped of Yisrael Levin's father. Yisrael Levin, Zichron Levracha, Alav HaShalom. And one of the things that his father said is that after the patira of his son Ari 2.5 years ago, if you recall, he said that he worked on, does anyone remember, in Aleinu? V'anachnu korum mishtachavim imodim v'fnei melach. Malachim lachim. That his father said what he worked on after the loss of his first son 2.5 years ago was accepting Malchus Shamayim. Anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim. We bow down, we prostrate, we give thanks before the Melech. And he focused and he concentrated on Melech. So when we daven, said Rav Tversky, the primary emphasis is on Malkeinu. Hashem is the all-powerful king. This is reflected in how we stand during the Amidah, Shemona Esrei. We have to wear respectable clothing. Learning Torah, on the other hand, brings us to our aspect of Avinu. Hashem is our loving Father. It's a Chavrusa. Who's in the Chavrusa, said Rav Tversky? You and the Ribbono Shel Olam. I just want to quote one more thing, because it's going to relate to later in our learning. And I love this line. Ready? We talk about having Zrizus in Avodas Hashem. How would you translate Zrizus?
Alacrity.
Alacrity. What does it mean? Yes, it is alacrity. But what, if I ask you, what does it mean to have Zrizus? I'm asking you, what does it mean to have Zrizus in Avodas Hashem? Yes, it means alacrity. What does it mean to have Zrizus in your Avodas Hashem?
Be excited.
Who's talking? What?
To be excited.
To be excited?
Well,
enthusiastic.
You're enthusiastic and eager.
Eager. Okay, eager. Very good. Okay, what else?
Motivated.
Also very good. Eager, very good. Motivated, very good. What else?
To rush. This eager, meaning Zrizus, to rush. To push yourself to...
To push yourself. Eager. Motivated. Yeah, motivated. Push yourself. Interesting. Now, what about rushing? Listen to this. This is great. Zrizus is not about running, said Rav Tversky. The literal definition of Zrizus is alacrity. Okay, Vayashkim, Avram Babokar, I woke up early in the morning, the beginning of Perachov Beis, and he harnessed his donkey, etc. He's going to the Akedah, and Rashi says right there, Nizdareiz la mitzvah. God said, take your son and bring him up as an ola, and the very next morning, Avram wakes up early, eager, motivated. What did you say? After rushing, you said something else.
Push yourself.
Push yourself. He was Zareiz.
I kind of see it as the opposite.
It's the opposite?
Because I feel like you have to push yourself when you're not so excited to do something, but you push yourself because you know it's the right thing. I think people who have Zrizas are truly enthusiastic about it, that they want to go. They don't really need to push themselves.
That's why I was paused after I said about Avram. That's why I took a brief pause. about a second after Avram, because I was thinking as I was saying it, I don't know if we could say that Avram pushed himself. I think that he was, we could say he was eager, and we could say that he was motivated, but when I push myself, it means exactly what I was saying. I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
He was doing it as quickly as possible, not wasting time.
Say it again.
He was doing it as quickly as possible. He wasn't wasting any time.
Oh, wasting time.
I
key.
Used the one word, not pushing, plunging. Like you're
okay.
Playing right into it.
Keep jumping, and
jumping
onto
the right response.
Okay. Yeah. What?
She looked at the definition.
Okay. You can tell us the definition, but I'm more interested. The exact definition is alacrity. I'm interested in hearing what we... Wait, 1 second. I was interested in hearing, before I tell you what Rav Twersky says, what we perceive. We talk about Zrizus Makdim in the mitzvahs. What exactly does Zrizus even mean to us? Yes, the literal translation is alacrity. Yeah, so what does it say?
It says cheerful readiness. Cheerful readiness.
Cheerful
readiness.
Readiness? Oh, very good. Cheerful readiness. And what then?
Promptness.
And willingness. Readiness. Very good. Okay. So, wait. I want to tell you what Twersky says now, okay? He needed to make the most of every minute. But it should not cause him to become hasty or harried. There's a difference between hasty and harried and eager, motivated, excited. In fact, he explained the midah of zrizus / alacrity as follows. Zrizus is not running. It's about being a zariz, giving proper thought and care to each mitzvah. So that's taking the time. Attaching importance to our every act. It means doing what I'm supposed to do at that time. Quote, one does not need to run. At best, running can be an expression of zrizus. However, more often than not, running is an expression of I'm late. And if you're late, that's not zrizus. Zrizus is not rushing, because if you're rushing, usually you're late. It's giving the proper thought, the proper care, attaching importance to every action, being eager, cheerful readiness. That's a good definition, I think. I think all the definitions we gave are appropriate and coming closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yes, someone else wants to say something? Yeah.
Is it the opposite of laziness?
It's the opposite of atzlas. Atzlas, yeah. I don't like to say this because I get into trouble every time, but I'm going to say it again. You may have remembered that I've said it in the past. I don't want to open up a whole discussion about it, really. I don't want your comments. I'm just telling you what I heard Rav Meir Twersky Shlita say about his brother Rav Moshe at the Shloshim, less than a month after he was killed. He spoke in the White Shul. Okay, if you don't like it, just... Rav Moshe had such zrizus for Avodas Hashem, he never asked anyone to do anything for him. You may remember that I've said this in the past. I do get into trouble, both from people in the classes and then people who listen online. Some people don't like it. If you don't like it, just fine. You don't like it. He did not ask anyone to do anything for him ever. Not his wife, not his children, because he felt that it was a reflect. He felt... It was a reflection. We cannot, Khalila, judge him or say anything negative about him. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what he did. Because he felt it was a reflection of the... I heard his brother say this, Rav Meir, in the White Show. It was a reflection of laziness. And that if something needed to be done, he needed to do it. And then subsequently, I read about Rav Elyashev, the exact same thing. It's in the biography, the article biography about Rav Elyashev. He too, but Rav Elyashev made a distinction that in terms of chinuch, because some people say, I want to be mechanech my children, so you should ask the child to do for the other parent. Now, if you don't like it, that's you could think about it. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. If this is done properly, on the other hand, even while working on... So in other words, why did I bring you that whole discussion, that whole paragraph? Because this is clearly a Gaon Olam, a giant in the world who felt Hashem. That's why I brought you that excerpt. He was aware of the divine presence. He said, the worst thing that could happen to a Jew is saying, Al kein ki ein elokai bikirbi matsuni hara'os ha'ela. The worst thing that could happen is for a Jew to say, because God is not in my midst, this happened to me. That's the worst thing. That is the implication that these bad things befell me because the Ribbono Shel Olam is not with me. There's no such thing. Hashem is always with you. And that feeling that Hashem is not with me leads to deeper detachment. So we always have to feel Hashem's presence and be uncareful that we're not so involved on divine presence. Joanna gave us some examples that we may lose the feeling of Hashem is with us. Okay? If this is done properly, on the other hand, even while working on emunah in divine providence, you will not lose what you have attained until this point. To the contrary, because you are aware of the existence of Hashem, and you feel His presence nearby constantly, Rav Salavitcher says, you learn from His mother the most important thing in His life, to feel the gentle pressure of the Ribbono Shel Olam's hand resting upon His frail shoulder. Coming up to Matan Torah very soon. I can't believe it's Lag BaOmer next week. I can't believe we're up to in Sefiras HaOmer. I didn't count you tonight. I can't believe it. Kos Omer LeBeis Yaakov Asaga LeBnei Yisrael. Rashi, of course, says so famously, the Beis Yaakov Elu HaNashim Tagidem B'Lashon Raka. It's very famous that the women, so to speak, were given the Torah first. An integral part of the Masorah of Salvechuk says, I learned from my mother the most important thing. Without her, I would have grown up a dry and soulless being. I learned from my mother there's a flavor, a scent, a warmth to Judaism. I learned to feel the gentle pressure of the hand of God resting upon my frail shoulder. To feel the presence of Hashem. Not just have alacrity for the mitzvahs, which we need to have this resource, but what are we doing this all for? Avinu Malkeinu, who's our father, who's our king. I'm doing this to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not just to take signs of divine providence and misinterpret them, but to understand the Hashkachas Hashem, the providence of God, that He's involved in everything. Not to lose what we have attained. It's so easy to lose in life. To the contrary, because you are aware of the existence of Hashem and feel His presence constantly nearby, you will develop the matter further and build upon it. And this is a basic principle of Avodah. We cannot remain stationary. And we know that. And you know the old mashal about the escalator. It's either moving up or it's moving down. We know that. You cannot remain stationary. You have to be advancing in life, because the flip side is that if you're not advancing, you're moving down. And especially in the society in which we live and the harried lives, not the Zrizis lives, the harried, rushed part of our lives where everybody's always running to do something somewhere else and everyone's on a time frame, it's very easy to become distracted from our goal in this world. Tovli Torah Spicha, me Alfei Zahav V'Kesav. The words of your Torah, says David HaMelech, are better to me than thousands of gold and silver. It's easy to become distracted. This is the meaning of Chazal in the Gemara. There is no rest for the students of the wise. I actually brought it to you so we could look up the lesson inside. There's no rest for the students of the wise, not in this world nor in the next, which is very interesting. What does that mean? That the students of the wise, the Talmid Chacham, doesn't have rest either in the next world? Not in this world and not in the next world. So the Gemara says, okay, Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chia. Rabbi Levi Bar Chia said, "Hayotzi mi beis haknesas, one who leaves beis knesas shol, v'nichlas lo beis hamedrash, and goes into the beis medrash, the Torah study hall, v'oseik b'torah, and he learns Torah. So he went from shol to the study hall. Zocha u'makabel pnei shechina. He merits and he greets the divine presence, as the pasuk says. The pasuk that the mechaber now quotes: Yelchu mechel al chayil. He should go from strength to strength. Yireh al Elokim b'tzion. Appear before God in Zion. Yelchu mechel al chayil. He went from one strength to the next strength. What was the first strength? Tefillah. What was the next strength? Torah. You went from strength to strength, and because you went from Tzvila to Torah, from the base Knesset to the base Medrash, you were Zocha to merit the Pnei Shechina. This is Amaseches Brachos Samech Dalet. Furthermore, continues the Gemara, this is the excerpt that our Mechaber quotes right now. Talmidei Chachamim, Ein Lahem Menucha. Lo ba'olam hazeh v'lo ba'olam haba. That exactly what the Sefer just quoted. A Talmid Chacham, translated as a Torah scholar, a student of wisdom, doesn't have rest, not in this world and not in that world. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because the footnote says, in this world and the next, they go from academy to academy and from scriptural exposition to scriptural exposition. One second, please. Okay, I want to see where the Rashi is on the Gemara. I don't see it. It says there's Rashi. Okay, let's go on. Shenemar, Yechul Mechayel Al Chayel Yireh Al Elokim B'tzion. They go from greatness to greatness, from strength to strength, appear before Hashem in Sion. So the footnote says that there are Torah scholars that even though usually one gets to the next world and cannot advance any further, great students of Torah actually can advance in the next world. Don't ask me questions about this. I don't really know. I'm just telling you what it says here. Even there, in the Torah academies of the world to come, a Torah scholar climbs from one level of Torah to the next, his spiritual stature ever increasing. I always understood that it's our Ma'isim Tovim and Torah learning and Chasadim on behalf of the Nifter that help the Nifter advance in the next world. Perhaps that's what this is also referring to in a different vein. Talmidei Chachamim Eina Menucha. Students of wisdom who leave their mark here don't have rest in this world or the next world, through the schosim that are amassed for their soul. Okay, the students of the wise are in constant motion. So Lamaisa, listen, we're in Olam Hazeh. Okay, so let's take a lesson for this world. Admei Vesem Shana, we'll worry about the next world when we get to the next world. No, that's not true. Scratch what I just said from the record. Rewind, that was bad. I was totally wrong, by the way, okay? I meant our questions about exactly what happens in the next world will be resolved on Me'ev Esrim Shana when we get there. I did not mean we should wait till the next world to worry about our eternal rest. It is then too late. We have to make sure while we are in this world to worry about the next world. Someone just asked me one of my other classes, she was learning with someone who's not affiliated, and the woman asked her what happens in the next world. So I said, I can't answer you. So she said, you know, she's asking a bunch of different people and everyone told her they can't answer. I said, okay, like she asked this rabbi and that rabbi and her grandson who learns in yeshiva. I said, I can't answer. I know in this world we have to do big avodah to prepare for the next world. The students of the wise, we have to be in constant motion. We have to advance from one level to the next. Nevertheless, they too must be careful to develop in an orderly fashion. We have to advance. This week is Parshas Kedoshim. And Parshas Kedoshim is full of mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro. How to be a mensch. You know what it means to be holy in Yehadus? Many things. But one of the main things it means is how to be a mensch. How to interact dafka in this world. Kedoshim to you in a holy fashion. You have to advance from one level to the next. Whether it's between Adam l'makom, between me and Hashem, or ben Adam l'chaver, between me and fellow man. But you have to make sure to develop in an orderly fashion. If not, they think they've attained a higher level, but is it at the expense of prior achievement? So there's order, there's Seder, just like Alel HaSeder. You have to do things in the proper order, so too in life. There's an order to our Avodas Hashem. We must know that much wisdom is needed for proper advancement, which is why a Talmid Chacham is called a Talmid Chacham. What's a Talmid? A student. The highest compliment you could give somebody. He could be 100 years old. He's such a Talmid Chacham. What are you really saying? He's a wise student. He understands that the whole tafkid is in this life is that he's in school and we're always learning. No matter our level, we're always advancing. Much wisdom is needed for proper advancement. Great skill is required to build each subsequent step. I thought of something interesting just at the bottom of this page. The pasuk that the Gemara quotes is Yelchu Mechel El Chayil. You should go from strength to strength. Yireh El Alokim B'tzion. God will be seen. You will see God in Tzion. But you need great skill. So then I thought of something interesting. Chel is strength, or you may move from success to success, but it's also the word for what? Soldier. Soldier. Chayalim. A chayal is a soldier. So I thought it's not an accident. I think that isn't that interesting. A soldier needs great skill to advance on the battlefield. A soldier needs great skill to advance in war. A soldier needs great skill in his platoon to know what to do. And so too, we are soldiers in Hashem's army. Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman would always say that Zecha Tzadik Levracha, the legendary Machnas Oreach, an American who lived at the turn of the last century and into the 1900s. And he would always say, we're soldiers in Hashem's army. But it's so fascinating that the pasuk that the Gemara quotes from Tehillim that relates to Talmidei Chachamim always advancing is a pasuk that uses the word for strength or advancement or position as chayal, which also means soldier. Great skill is required, both of a soldier and of an Eved Hashem, to advance. Okay, we will therefore use a couple more minutes. We're doing very well tonight. We're getting a lot done. Baruch Hashem. We will use the three aforementioned levels as an example. At first, page 106, ladies, you must strive to acquire. So what are the three levels here? A real sense of the existence of the Creator until it becomes completely entranced. Did anyone else, after last week's shiur, see Venus in the sky? At least you're amistic. You looked. Tonight it's very foggy. Me and my daughter had to go to shul Friday nights around the corner because she forgot if she counted Sfira on Thursday night. She didn't know. So I said, that's God's Rabbi Willa. What are you supposed to do? She didn't know if she did or she didn't. So we walked to shul. We waited. Anyway, my husband was walking home with my sister-in-law's brother. My brother's wife's brother. Okay, we know him. So I looked up to the sky. It was Uncle Mez, and I said, look at the planet under the moon. It was so brilliant. Wow. It was unbelievable. I said, when you go home, make sure you tell your wife, who I know. So then I looked it up. What planet is it? It's Venus. Brilliant Venus rises in the western sky at dusk. It gave the time, so I texted it to her. I said, please make sure to share this with your husband. She said, he came in from shul, and he told me to come outside and look at it. Nobody saw.
Wow.
I don't know if it's still rising now in the western sky this week, and certainly you can't see it tonight. Okay. Well, it helps you or enhances the beauty of this world. There's such a real sense of the existence of the Creator until it becomes completely internalized. You must then build on that and then internalize the sense that the Creator is with you at all times. Everything in this world should enhance our awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam till it becomes completely internalized. Then build on that. Internalize the sense that Hashem has not only created all these beautiful things, and not only does He exist at all times and everything, He's with me at all times. That's the second level, built on the first. And then finally, the Creator guides everything in the world, which relates to what Rav Moshe Twersky said, the worst condition for a Jew to be in is Al Kain Ki Ein Elokai Bir Kirbi Matsuni Asaros Eila. The worst condition is to feel that Hashem does not guide the world. Chas v'shalom. He guides everything. And here there may be separation between the second level, internalization that He's with me, and that He's guiding everything. We might have the inner feeling the Creator dwells in the heaven and controls the earth from there. But that's not true. Even if it was in Shemaim, you have to go up to Shemaim to get it. If so, while working on faith in divine providence, you might forget Hashem is nearby, which sort of is what Joanna illustrated for us. So how do you build each level? On the previous one, think, there's a Creator. He's near me. And I can speak to Him at any time. When I'm washing the grapes, I learn that from Henny. I can speak to Him. I do laundry, Baruch Hashem, I have machines that work. Baruch Hashem, we could get the stains. When I wash the grapes, the natural sweetness should give us a taste for sweetness, naturally. It should give us koach, it should give us vitamins. When I'm washing the fry pan, I'm feeling frustrated. Hashem, every day the same Nisayan, what should I do? Why? Because He's right near me. You could speak to Him at any time. I see you're here, Hashem. You're guiding everything. Not only in the distant heavens, like the airplane that's so far away. It's like the airplane in the airport. You're right here, right here. The bus is moving the clouds. The sense of divine providence must be rooted in the recognition of the Creator who's here. The concept of divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, I just want to finish this paragraph, please, so that we finish this page, is broader than the sea. There is, in fact, a problem with the quick manner in which we're covering it here. Each step requires literally years of daily effort. You have to set aside an hour for contemplation. He has said that many times, as the Ramchal Moshe Chaim Lutzato taught us. And then, that remember the idea each half hour, and then every 25 minutes, 20, 15, and so on. Should we just finish?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. At first, it's necessary. Okay, I want to quote Rav Shimshon Pinkus at the end of this chapter, but Be'ezros Hashem next week. Not tonight, it's too long. At first, it's necessary to attain a clear picture of the ideas. It's essential to remember you can't rush. Ha! What did we just learn about? Rav Moshe Twersky and Zrizus. Zrizus is not rushing, he said. If you're rushing, you're probably late. You can't rush from stage to stage. Remember the existence. Feel His presence. Know His guidance. If you rush, if you skip a stage in the Seder, Leil Seder, then you lost out so much. There are principles of inner work, Take every aspect and work day after day. And if you fail, key, underline, don't really do it, it's not our farm. If you fail, never give up. Tzadik yipol sheva v'kam urisha'im yakashlu b'ra. The goddess of a tzadik is that no matter how many times he falls, he will get back up. But the wicked stumble in their evil. Do not allow your failure, please, nobody, me, to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because you're building something from within. You're not just learning and rushing. Level upon level, deep within your soul, palpable sense of the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of his presence and of his providence. So the existence of the Creator, he's the Borei. His presence, the Shekhinah, Shachin. His presence is right next to me as a neighbor. And finally, his providence, Hashkacha. Advance to the next stage, which we will explain. Hashem help us to understand and acquire and apply these levels and truly become close to him. So Be'ezras Hashem, next week, at the conclusion of this class, we will quote from Hashem Shem Pikas. I wish you a wonderful, peaceful, healthy, Besuras Tovas filled week and a good Shabbos. Does anyone have questions? Okay, thank you, ladies. Listen to me, please.